Welcome back to the Highly Productive Podcast, everybody. It's been a long time coming. I've got a lot of really cool stuff for you guys on the docket coming up really soon. I've been grinding super hard here in the Colorado cannabis industry, you know, grinding as a dad, football coach, all the good jazz. We'll have plenty of time to catch up on that stuff. But without further ado, you guys, I've got a really good one right out of the gate for you guys. My buddy Laz from Bud and Mary's came over to talk to my team about, you know, some of their products, some of the products that we carry, and, you know, give us an insight on the production of those products and how they kind of came about. I thought it was really valuable, really cool insight. My staff all thought it was really cool as well. And, you know, I want to bring some of that to you guys so you can, you know, see for yourself and see what you think. But without further ado, we've got Laz from Buddy Mary's, a.k.a. Batch.
I work with a lot of dispensaries, and I walk in, and sometimes I end up leaving, and I'm like, I don't know how these people are buttending. Like, some people just, much more, socially capable than the people that I'm talking about. Sometimes I walk out of places and I'm just like, these people barely could, like, look me in the eye. You know, like, why didn't they get offered a role that wasn't customer-facing? Because they're obviously not comfortable talking to people, you know? So, it's awesome that they have that role. And then, how long have you been here? You've been here a while.
Mm-hmm. 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah, 3 years.
OG. What did you do before this?
Yeah, where did you work before?
Costco. For 4 years.
Costco.
Little Costco.
Not a bad place to work right here.
Yeah, that's what they say. That's why their benefits are so good. It's so shitty.
Yeah.
It's so physical.
Oh. This guy got stuck to the table.
So I got an aspirin. Have you ever had, like, a really bad french fry?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Before I was about to move here, we were in the process of doing, like, we were testing the shelf life of french fries. So after a while, I don't know what they were putting in them, but they were, like, gray, bluish french fries by the end of it. Eat up.
Maybe it's not a waiver.
Well,
just got paid for it. $17 an hour, though.
To eat food. Mm-hmm. Not bad. I take that, Jake.
Yeah.
And are you hanging out for this training session?
Yeah, Kim and I are going to take turns.
Okay, sweet. So, Zoe, how long you work here? And then what did you do before this?
2.5 months?
Question mark?
I don't know,
actually. Question mark? She's employee of the month already.
Hey, congratulations.
Go, Zoe.
I worked with kids before this.
Cool.
What are they called? A teacher's assistant?
Teacher's
aide?
Yeah. Good stuff. I'll leave this for you.
They're like...
Joe, well, give me my background as well, since everybody told me about theirs.
I was about to say,
what about you? I'm Laz. I'm your rep and batch. I have been working in cannabis for a little over six years. Moved here in 2017. I was working, managing a tasting room for a vineyard on the East Coast in Vermont. Super fun, absolutely loved it. Was really interested in shifting gears into the craft beer industry. Moved to Boulder, applied to every brewery in town, and I got an overwhelming number of offers to come wash dishes at the kitchen at the brewery, which was not at all what I was interested in doing. So I ended up looking at jobs in cannabis. I took a job at Terrapin Care Station.
I was gonna make you a jackass. Sorry.
Welcome. No, you're good. Come on in. Took a job at Terrapin Care Station. I was bud-tending there for a little bit. Ended up working with them, helping manage some of the stores up in Boulder. And then took a job as a bud-tender in Denver at an old shop called Diego Pellicera. It's no longer around anymore.
Loved that fucking
dispensary. It was a cool spot. We had a crocodile. A Cayman alligator. It was really cool. Really cool. Little guy. I ended up as their purchasing manager and assistant store manager. Got let go right middle of COVID, beginning of COVID, April 2020. And took that month and a half of unemployment during COVID, which was the best month and a half of my life. And then started working with Bud and Mary's back in 2020. And that was one of the best decisions I've ever made. This has been a really cool job. And I'm excited to kind of get into the nitty gritty of what we do behind the scenes, because it's not something that we really talk about or advertise too much. But this little pamphlet, Rooted in Science. This is the big reason why, I mean, there's a lot of reasons I love coming to work every day. This is the biggest reason why I love coming to work every day and why I find it so important to sell cartridges, which doesn't seem like an important thing to do, but hopefully you'll leave here feeling the same way afterwards. So, Bud & Mary's, our main focus is actually cannabis research. We got the first, and to this day, the only cannabis research license in Colorado. About 6 years ago, our founding team approached the MED with an idea to sell, to make and sell cannabis products to dispensaries to fund cannabis research with this cannabis research license. So what the cannabis research and development license allows us to do is develop products in-house with a very specific medical use that we would never sell to a dispensary. So currently our focus is dementia and Alzheimer's. How can we use cannabis, what we know about cannabis and what we don't know about cannabis, to treat the side effects of dementia and Alzheimer's? We did a lot of research into dementia and Alzheimer's in general. What we know is when somebody is diagnosed with that disease, they have a lot of inflammation happening in their brain. So certain parts of your brain become really, like, essentially swollen, inflamed. From there, what we do is we grow weed, turn it into oil, isolate different cannabinoids, create different cannabinoid ratios, and then we test it in a controlled setting on essentially a simulated Alzheimer's brain in a petri dish.
Crazy.
It's really crazy. Essentially what we do is we grow all the different types of brain cells that you have in your brain in a petri dish, inject it with a disease protein that basically simulates Alzheimer's. It creates inflammation in the same parts of the brain that get impacted in the human brain. And then we make different cannabinoid ratios and inject it into those different petri dishes to see which one's going to be the most effective. So we've been doing that research. It's really, really cool.
I've never heard of that kind of research before, like with Alzheimer's. That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I know. As far as I know, it's the only cannabis research license in the state. So that's actually a state level license. Last summer, in July of 2022, we got a Schedule I research license, which is a DEA issued federal research license that allows us to do federal research with all Schedule I drugs, which cannabis is. Who here knows what a Schedule I drug is?
No medicinal value.
Heroin is one.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Weed, LSD, mushrooms.
LSD, mushrooms.
Cocaine is actually scheduled.
Cocaine's actually scheduled too, yes.
Is amphetamine scheduled?
No.
Meth is scheduled. I think meth is scheduled.
Yeah.
General amphetamines. No. They give them to kids. You kidding me? Come on. So, exactly. Wild. So, we, the Schedule I research license, Schedule I drugs are proven. Quote unquote,
well,
proven.
No accepted medicinal value.
No known medical benefits,
yeah.
No medicinal value.
But they also block research on cannabis.
Yes. And a high potential for addiction, harm, and abuse, which
and
is why it's illegal. Sorry, go ahead.
Anything they do fund, they typically are like, we'll grant you this money to study cannabis as long as you try to prove negative effects.
Well, so without a Schedule I research license, that's all you're allowed to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's legally all you're allowed to do, is try to show how bad cannabis is.
Mm-hmm.
With a Schedule I research license, you're then allowed to do research into the potential medical benefits of all Schedule I drugs. So, in theory, we could be doing medical heroin research. Not that we're going to. But also in theory, if we're in Colorado, decriminalized psilocybin mushrooms, we now actually have the licensing to do research into psilocybin. We have no legitimate plans to, no concrete plans to yet, but we do have the licenses that would allow us to do so. So,
Hi,
yeah,
Rico.
It's going to be really, really cool.
Yes,
let's go.
You know where to find me.
If we need any guinea pigs, you're my first phone call. That's the big reason why we do what we do. That's why we sell cartridges. That's why we sell tinctures and topicals and flower and all this stuff. Because research is really, really expensive. And we need to pay for it. We need a driver for all these things. So, when we started up 5 years ago, we bought a shell warehouse. It was essentially four walls, a roof, and a dirt floor. And we custom built the whole thing specifically for cannabis production. What's unique about that versus a lot of other grows is that most other grows, and there's nothing wrong with it, but most other grows, you're either buying or renting warehouse space. You put up walls, you put up lights, you put up HVAC systems and cameras and all that stuff. And then you start growing weed. What's tricky is that that building was not meant for indoor farming, which is what growing weed is. Growing weed inside is indoor agriculture, which is not easy to simulate nature inside of a warehouse. When the facility wasn't built specifically to grow weed, there's a much bigger chance for light leaks, for things that could possibly result in mold or microbials or bugs or whatever it is, because we got to build it from scratch, and because some of our founders came with a background in cannabis, we knew what to do, what to look out for, what small little things would make a really big difference. So we're vertically integrated, meaning we grow our weed for extraction.
Right.
Our grow, for example, every 5 feet, there are grates all over the floor. So the reason that's important, and the reason our founder was super insistent, standing water. Exactly. When you want to grow clean weed, you need a clean grow. So we clean the facility once a week. We move all the tables. We clean the walls. We clean the floors. And when you're done mopping, you have water all over the place. We can squeegee everything into these grates that brings the water out of the grow areas and then reduces the chances that we have for mold,
dude,
things like that.
It's really impressive because I've been to grows that were absolutely appalling.
Yeah,
lots
it's crazy. It's
like,
crazy what some people can get away with. And then again, like from a sustainability standpoint, the extra energy that it takes to dry out a facility that doesn't have grates and has standing water all over the place,
yeah.
Then you have, you know, 15 different dehumidifiers all trying to get rid of the water because you didn't think to put grates in the floor or you didn't have the opportunity to at the beginning. So things like sealing the crack between the wall and the floor with concrete, you know, dirt, water gets in there. All of a sudden you're going to have mold issues and that's going to get all over the room. So little tiny things, a lot of little tiny things went into the design of this facility to make it what it is. So over the last few years, we've been able we were awarded and then we've been able to maintain certifications that are really important for global industries, but people aren't really thinking about it in cannabis yet. So GAP is good agricultural practices. GMP is good manufacturing practices. These are standard in like pharmaceutical, in big ag, a lot of different industries. The certifications are recognized in over 100 different countries, but nobody in cannabis is really looking for these things yet. These are things that are really, really important to us. The way that we were able to achieve them is one, the facility itself, but the big piece is the standard operating procedures that we wrote and have to follow year after year. They come in, they audit our facility, they audit our processes, and they make sure that we're continuing to do everything to a T. Essentially, what these certifications mean is when we're able to stamp it on our bag, whether it's our flower or whether it's the cartridges that y'all sell, it's showing anybody that knows what those certifications are that this is coming from a facility that really cares about quality, safety, and is going to produce a consistent product every single time. So those are some of the big licenses and certifications that we have at the grow. The people that work for us on that side of the business, they're not like your standard weed industry people. We have PhD scientists that work for us that do a lot of the analysis for our products. Analysis for the research and spearhead the research and work with the state and federal government to get funding and to really, you know, help even get these licenses approved. And then we've got a 35-year compounding pharmacist who's been working with us since day one. He was our first employee, Scott Karolchik. So what Scott's been able to, does anybody know what compounding pharmacy is? It's essentially custom pharmaceuticals. I had no idea what it was before I started with Bud Mary's. It's custom pharmaceuticals. Say you've got some sort of skin condition, and the whole class of drugs that you could normally take that would totally cure your ailment, just make that skin condition explode and cover your whole body. What Scott could do is figure out what your sensitivity or allergy is and then custom make you your own pharmaceutical to address the problem without setting off the allergy. So he's created all the different ratios for Become. He, even down to like what percentage of terpenes do we need to put into the cartridges to make sure they taste good, they have a great effect, but also they flow all the way through to the last one. We take a very, very different approach creating these products because, again, of our GMP certification and because of people like Scott that have a lot of say into how these things are developed. So we'll go into the R&D of how we did the 2-gram cartridge hardware. It was a 6-plus month project. We just started making disposables. That was over a year in the making. We tried 30 different prototypes before we landed on one that worked. So, any questions about kind of behind the scenes Bud and Mary stuff? Research?
No.
Anything
no,
like that?
I'm just very impressed. Yeah, very few companies hold themselves to that kind of standard.
I agree.
Without regulation.
Yeah.
You know, those GMP, all that stuff, that's some stuff that happens when the FDA gets involved.
Exactly.
And they're not involved. So
exactly.
I really admire that.
Well, you know, with our focus on research, I really hope one day that we can figure out how we can treat dementia and Alzheimer's using cannabis and then work with the FDA to get something approved, to get some cannabis natural pharmaceutical out there that can really help people's lives. So I'm right there with you. Last little piece that I forgot to mention is testing. We've got the same accreditations and machines that all of the testing labs have in Colorado. So everything on your shelf has been tested by a third-party lab to show that it's, you know, proper potency, there's no microbials or mold or whatever it is. We have the same capabilities that all of them do, and we actually test our products about 6 to 7 times between growing the weed and putting the cartridge in a box. We test the product all the way through to make sure that it's going to be safe for the final product. We know it's going to pass testing with flying colors no matter what. So we'll jump into batch because that's kind of the lifeblood of everything that we make. So batch is our cartridge line. All of our products are made from the oil that we make in-house at the Bud and Mary's facility. So all of our starting material, the weed that goes into the oil to make the cartridges, it all used to come from our internal grow. We have scaled since, especially with, you know, the 2-gram cartridges blowing up business, we've needed more and more starting material. So we make distillate. Distillate in general, as I think most of you probably know, doesn't get the best reputation in cannabis. People call it hot dog water because you can take really gross starting material. You can take, you know, gross old outdoor mids. You can take moldy weed. You can take weed with powdery mildew. You can take all this stuff and you can turn it into distillate and call it a day. And you can call it a super potent product because it's testing super high, right?
Yeah.
I'm a firm believer that you can't take a low quality starting material and have a high quality end product, right? It's the same concept as a lot of rosin companies will describe as fire in, fire out. You have to have good weed to start to make a great product at the end. You can't have dog shit food ingredients, pardon my French, and then make a 5-star meal out of it, right? You might be able to cover up how terrible it is, but in the end, the quality is not there. So the biggest difference, in my opinion, and one of the big reasons why I feel really, really, really good about selling batch distillate is because we use really good starting material. We either use our GAP certified flower. We sell our flower now on the wholesale market. It is not cheap. It is way more expensive than a lot of the stuff on the market because we know it's really clean and we know it's high quality. So high quality starting material from us, and then we work with 2 grows in Denver. They're indoor grows with great reputations. We don't talk about who they are, but incredible quality going in. 2 reasons. 1, we need a quality product in the end. 2, we are a small company. We do only CO2 extraction. We have 1 CO2 extraction machine. We have 1 distillation room. What that means is every single run where we make oil, we need massive yields of high cannabinoid oil. You can't get 16 to 20% yields on distillate if you're using gross outdoor mids, right? Yeah. So we have to use really high quality starting material. The other piece too is the sativa and indica that y'all carry, the batch signature line, the strain specific, those are real cannabis terpenes. That's not just like a terpene blend that we buy from a company that's called, you know, G6 or Kosher Kush. These are real cannabis terpenes. So if we're using mids to start and we extract those terpenes, it's gonna taste like mids in the end.
So
and we don't want that. So high quality starting material going in. Like I said, we only do CO2 extraction. We're not buying BHO with residual butane or what we all love to call poop soup in the industry, that, you know, black soupy shit. We're not taking that, mixing ethanol in and distilling it. There's a lot of companies that do. There's a lot of companies that their entire business model is based off of that. That's fine, whatever. It's just not what we do. So we do CO2 extraction. The first step in CO2 extraction is decarboxylate. So the same process as when you make canna butter at home, take all your weed, you put it on a baking sheet, you put it in the oven, right? to activate the THC. You turn the THCA into active THC, so if you eat the weed, you get high. Has anybody ever done that before?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does your house smell like?
Weed.
Boom.
It smells like weed.
Exactly. So, your whole house smells like weed because you're heating up that weed to a point where terpenes are evaporating, right? So, we knew from day one we wanted real cannabis terpenes in our cartridges. We custom built our decarb oven to be under vacuum to capture all of those terpenes instead of losing them into the atmosphere of our facility. So when we're decarbing 50 pounds of weed, you can't really smell it unless you're in that room really paying attention. So we take the weed, we test it, we grind it all up, and then we put it into these ovens. They go 18 hours at 190 degrees. Now this is hot enough to off-gas 50% of your terpenes into the atmosphere. What we do is essentially suck all of the air out of that oven, and it dumps water that's evaporating and terpenes that are evaporating into a mason jar. From there, we separate the water out, and we've got 50% of the terpenes from that batch of weed sitting there in a mason jar.
Like a hydrosol, almost, right?
I don't know what that is.
Oh, it's basically like when you do a steam distillation of, like, lavender, and you have the terpenes in the water. It's a hydrosol.
Yep. So yeah,
that's
exactly.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, we were able to do a chemical separation and get rid of all that water because we couldn't put water into a cartridge.
Yeah.
But it's really cool. You look at those, they're called monoterpenes. Those terpenes, you look at them, you smell it in the jar. It looks like water. It kind of moves and flows like water. When you smell it, it doesn't really smell like the strain you extracted because it's only 50% of those terpenes,
yeah.
Right? It's like half of the spectrum of total terpenes that's present in that weed. So we put the monoterpenes into a refrigerator. We take all that weed that got baked. We put it into the CO2 extractor. CO2 extraction uses high heat and high pressure to pull cannabinoids, waxes, and fats off the plant matter. That will destroy terpenes. Plain and simple. What's cool about our CO2 extraction machine is that there's actually a separate run that we can do before we turn it to CO2 extract. We do a terpene run. So it heats it up a little hotter than our decarb oven, hot enough to evaporate the rest of the terpenes on there, and we pull those off. They go into another mason jar. Those are called sesquiterpenes. They kind of look like maple syrup. Smell those. Doesn't smell like the strain that you just extracted. But you put both those jars together and you get the full spectrum of terpenes and you smell it, it finally smells like the weed that you're about to extract. So it's a pretty cool experience to get to smell the two different jars together and then separately. But we do a CO2 extraction run. And if anybody's ever seen CO2 oil, it looks kind of like RSO. It's very dark. It looks pretty scary, to be honest. And when I first saw our CO2 oil, I was shocked I wasn't looking at BHO. Our CO2 oil comes out and it's usually this beautiful yellow color. Sometimes it comes out a little bit crumbly too. It's like really, really high quality CO2 oil. The end of the column a lot of times comes out looking like honey. But much higher quality CO2 oil, again, because we're using a really high quality starting material. We're not using nasty old trim from last year's harvest that has mold and bugs and shit in it. This is really, really high quality stuff that we're extracting. So from the CO2 oil, it goes into the distillation room where we mix in the ethanol and we distill. So we do two different types of distillation. There's one called short path distillation. That's what the majority of people do. I like to compare the two different kinds of distillations that we do to grilling and barbecue. One of them is hot and fast, one of them is low and slow. Hot and fast is short path. So basically you put all of the ethanol and CO2 oil into a big orb, and then you heat that orb up on a big curved hot plate. All of the oil bubbles and heats up and you capture the steam. Impurities go one way, cannabinoids go the other, and once you're all done, there's nothing left in the orb, and you've got a jar over here of impurities, and you've got a jar over here that's about 80 to 85% cannabinoids. And that is beautiful distillate, and usually this is where people just go in and they mix their terpenes back in and they call it a day, but we want to create the cleanest oil on the market. We run it through something called the thin film evaporator. So this is the barbecue style. This is where we put it up on a shelf. We attach a tube to the jar of oil and it drips one drop at a time onto this really hot column in the middle that has a knife swirling around it, and it smears oil all over this hot column, instantly vaporizes a very small amount instead of the whole thing all at once, and we capture that vapor. From there, we're pulling any residual ethanol that could possibly be in there. We're pulling out chlorophyll, which is totally safe. It's just pretty harsh in your throat. And broken terpenes, which are just terpenes that made it through the CO2 extraction process. made it through the first round of distillation that got really hot, and they taste like shit, and they're really, really harsh on your throat. From there, we've got 95 to 98% pure oil that's sitting in a jar looking absolutely gorgeous. So from there, that's where we take it over to our formulation room, and we make all of our products with it. We've got two ladies, Robin and Jasmine, who have been with us forever, and they literally turn this raw distillate into tinctures, topicals, probably, you know, 15 different flavors and versions of our cartridges. We can do a lot of different things with it. So for the signature cartridges, we mix back in both sets of terpenes, the mono and the sesquiterpenes, the water and the, maple syrup, and they go back in so that it creates that true full spectrum experience. We've got the full spectrum of cannabinoids, we've got the true full spectrum of terpenes because we captured all of the terpenes that are normally lost during this process. Mix them back in, boom, you're looking at 80 to 95% depending on the batch, potency, and true cannabis terpenes representing the strain that you see on the box. So it's gonna taste like weed, it's gonna smoke like weed, it's gonna feel like you just smoked a joint because we captured all the things that play into your high and put it back into a cartridge. For the flavored cartridges, exact same process of making the oil. The only difference is we don't put those cannabis terpenes back in. We put different botanical terpene blends that we've developed at the lab. So y'all carry Dazzleberry. It's the only flavor that you have on your shelf right now. Dazzleberry was a limited edition flavor we did for charity a couple years ago for a project that we do every year called Awareness. We make a limited edition cartridge, we sell it to a bunch of different stores that want to participate, and then all the profits go to a different charitable organization that helps people that have been negatively impacted by the war on drugs. This we donated to One Colorado, which was an LGBTQ organization in Denver, and we dropped off 50 units at 75 different stores, and 2 days later, every sales rep on the team was getting phone calls. They were like, we didn't have a name for it. They were like, yo, whatever this tie-dye cartridge is, like, yeah, we need more of this shit. And we were like, yeah. Oh, we don't have any. We didn't make any more. So we took that as a sign, all right, let's put this into rotation as a full-time flavor. It was our second ever flavor, and now it's our top seller.
Dude, yeah. We sold out fast.
It's,
and people be coming back. When are you going to get those Dazzleberries?
Well, you got them today. Blue Razz Cotton Candy. It is absolutely delicious. It's one of my favorite flavors. A new one recently took the top contender spot, but it's really, really great one. All natural, safe botanical terpenes extracted from plants. No synthetic terpenes here. It's going to be totally safe to inhale. It's all good. Batch Become is a different approach to cartridges. So Batch Become is going to be effect-based approach. We're trying to use what we know about minor cannabinoids, cannabinoid ratios, and specific terpene blends to try to drive one of three effects: elevated, balanced, or mellow. So we want to take the guesswork out of how the consumer might feel. Elevated is a 1-to-1, and we added 5% CBG, which is just going to give this nice, uplifted, happy feeling. And it's a super citrusy lemon terpene profile. I call this one the Sativa Hater Sativa because it is, if you smell it and you taste it, you're like, that's sativa all day long. I talk to people all the time, they're like, can't smoke sativas, they make me super anxious. I gotta smoke, you know, super heavy indicas first thing in the morning. This is an awesome option for them because it has the terpenes to give that focused and energized high with more than enough CBD to really tone down that head high and combat the anxiety. True 1-to-1, 5% CBG added to the mix. Balanced is Blood Orange Guava Terps. This is my favorite flavored cartridge until recently. Now it's my second favorite flavored cartridge. It's sweet and it's citrusy, so it's got a nice balance of flavor and a nice balance of effect. It's not too heavy. It's not too uppity and energizing. You can smoke it first thing in the morning or right before bed and you'll be good to go. No additional cannabinoids here. We just wanted to make a true even hybrid. Mellow is going to be a 1-to-1. We added 5% CBN to this blend. It's a lychee flavor, so it's got a little bit of a floral kick to it, which is the linalool terpene coming through. So linalool has been shown to have really sedating effects. It's going to drive that sleepiness, and the CBN is really, really going to help you get to sleep. I always say the CBD helps you shut your brain up as you're trying to get to sleep, and then the CBN is really going to help you stay asleep and get restful sleep. This is my bedside table, buddy. This stays on my bedside table 100% of the time. If I wake up in the middle of the night, I'm not trying to like get up and pull out a torch and take a dab or roll a joint or hit a bong, whatever it is. Quick vape pen as I'm still laying down.
Yep.
Good to go. It really, really knocks me out. I talk to a lot of people where they'll use this for anxiety relief as well. I read an article a while ago that said that CBN has been shown to have similar effects to certain benzodiazepines, which is like big class of drugs that combats anxiety. I know a lot of people that just use this one. They'll take one or two hits if they're starting to feel like a panic attack coming on or something. Really helps calm them down. But it's good for any time of day, you know, depending on which one you have. If you can get somebody to buy all three, they got the whole day, the whole weekend figured out. But it's the same base oil that we're using for all of our other products, just a different approach. I think that this is great for people that are kind of getting into cannabis or getting back into cannabis.
Exactly.
I also think that there's a great place here for heavy consumers as well. I think we're finally getting to a point in the industry where even the heaviest consumers are opening their eyes to CBD. And they're not just like, oh, it's not going to get me high. What'd you say?
There's good experiences.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think anybody can appreciate a strong body high, you know?
Yeah.
So, a little something for everybody.
Yeah. I was actually off. I was taking a tolerance break for about 3 months. And I came back to cannabis and it just made me pet. Like, and it had never really done that to me before. So I discovered the Mellow 1-to-1. And it really, I fell back in love with cannabis. And yeah, I mean, it really made a difference for me. It's definitely one of my all-time favorite cartridges.
Thank you. That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, I recently took a tolerance break as well. Went from dabbing all day long to,
exactly.
You know, then I cut out the morning dab, and then I cut out the lunchtime dab. And then once you cut out those two and you wait all day and you take that afternoon dab, you're just like, holy shit, I am so high. So yeah, Become has been a really nice change of pace for me lately. I like this one a lot for like when I'm being really active in the mountains. Hiking, skiing, it's awesome. It's a great way to stay high without getting overwhelmingly high. And I have, you know, shoulder pain, back pain, knee pain, all of this stuff. And it's a really, really nice way to be able to continue to be active.
Doesn't give you that like after high grogginess either.
Oh, yeah.
Like I just keep going once it wears off. You're just it's not. Don't feel like I need to go to bed right after the fast.
Yeah, I mean that grogginess happens to me when I consume like a lot of THC.
Right. Yeah.
And then I don't consume anymore for like a good while. Once it wears off, I'm just like I'm done.
Once the complete high is gone,
done with everything.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, and yeah, the lack of THC or the dilution of the THC in that really helps.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's definitely a sweet spot with a lot of cannabinoids, and you could find that level that you are functioning well, you're feeling good, you're not anxious. That's the best place to be rather than just being like, overwhelmed with THC, you know? So
totally.
I feel like this is definitely like a lifestyle product.
I agree.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, so we make a tincture for sleep that's 250 milligrams of CBD, 50 milligrams THC, 50 milligrams CBN. One of the big questions I get all the time is like, why didn't you just make it 500, 100, 100? So you could, you know, max out the potency for your edible. And it was exactly for that reason, because we wanted something that was going to be functional for people. So we did that 500, 100, 100 ratio. Everybody was waking up the next day. We did that internally as an R&D product. Everybody was coming to work the next day and they were like, dude, I'm fucking tired. I have like a weed hangover right now. This is rough. We brought the potency down by half and everybody was like, I got amazing sleep and I feel so good today. So yeah, there's a time and a place for all the THC in the world.
Yeah.
That's why we have Batch. You know, that's why we have the signature and flavors. But Become, agreed. Definitely more of like this kind of lifestyle, borderlining on a wellness product.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Yeah.
So we don't carry the signature line, do we?
You do, in the 2 grams. I didn't have any 2 gram sheets, so you got the 1 gram sheets. That's why they look a little different.
The Purple Punch and the Critical Kush.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the Sativa and Indica batch 2 gram. Oh, hardware real quick. 2 gram hardware. That was a 6-month process where we had 7 different prototypes that we had to go through. when we made it, we hit up, or when we wanted to make it, June, I think it was June or May of 2022, we hit up our manufacturer for our 1 gram cartridges, big hardware manufacturer. We said, hey, we want to do a 2 gram cart, first in the United States, what do you got? And they said, we got nothing. And we were like, okay, well, do you want to make one with us and do the R&D? And they were like, sounds like a lot of work. We're okay, thank you. They're like, shit, well, I don't know what we're going to do. So our PhD biochemist who does all the research hit up his buddy from grad school who owns a manufacturing company, has nothing to do with weed. And he was like, hey, we know you don't do weed cartridges, but we want to be the first to market with a 2 gram. Do you want, and before he could finish his sentence, he was like, yep, I'm in, let's do this, let's make one. So we sent him all the specs for our 1 gram hardware. He sent us samples. We brought them to the facility. We filled up the 2 gram carts. We clicked the tops on, and it immediately dumped a ton of oil out of the bottom because the intake holes at the bottom exposing the heating element to the oil were twice as big as our 1 grams, which is apparently too big. So it was leaking out of the bottom. We went back. We said, hey, you got to make these intake holes smaller. And he did, and he sent samples back, and we filled them with oil, and we clicked the top, and nothing leaked, and we went to smoke it, and there was, like, no vapor production because there wasn't enough surface area. So, we're like, all right, what do we do? So, we said, pull more power from the battery to give it, to bring a little bit more heat to the equation so that we can actually vaporize more at once. And it gave you great vapor production, but after, like, a half gram to a gram smoked, you would see a burnt coil at the bottom. So we switched out the materials inside to be a little bit more heat resistant, to be able to cool down a little bit faster, and it worked. We were getting clogging issues, so we had to make the airflow piece bigger and a couple more changes after that, and we finally had nailed it. So when we first launched it, that was the biggest question I got. They were like, is it gonna clog? Does it work? Does it taste good all the way to the bottom? And yeah, it does. We did a lot of R&D with these products to make sure that it is a good smoking experience, not just in the first half gram, not just in the first gram, but all the way down to that last, you know, quarter gram as you're getting to 2 grams smoked in that single piece of hardware. Yeah, it finally worked.
It shows.
Yeah, thanks. They're definitely really unique. Like, that's one of the first things I noticed was the hardware itself is not like other cartridges. I feel like I can get a nice big hit without pulling really
yep.
hard and like sucking, like I'm, you know, like just giving myself a headache.
Yeah,
so
blowing blood vessels in your eyes and shit. Yeah. We also sent a bunch out with our Western Slope reps. Like, they were like, keep this in your car, drive all over the state, do as many mountain passes as you can on this lap around the state, and tell me if it leaks out of the bottom. And a few of the prototypes did, but when we finally landed on the one that we felt like we were going to go forward with, sent them out in the mountains. Good to go.
Yeah, I definitely can admire all of that testing and rigor that went into developing something that's going to be like a lasting, like I said, lifestyle. Like, this is something.
And there you have it, guys. That's a wrap. We have Laz from Bud and Mary's, aka Batch, joining us. And like I said, myself and my staff really love the insight. Laz is great at kind of providing that education and giving us a really good glimpse onto what goes into the process of making these wonderful products that we sell every day. But I hope you guys found some value out of that. I'm going to continue to find some time in my busy life to continue to produce these shows and ultimately hopefully bring you guys some value and give you a glimpse into what we do every day here in the Colorado cannabis market. Again, I hope you enjoyed it. I really appreciate you guys tuning in to the Highly Productive Podcast. And I've got more coming up really, really soon. Stay tuned.